Thanks, Deb. So if you can have your Bibles open at 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 13 to 16. And it reads like this. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So these last few weeks, we've all sat under Tim's ministry, and he's taken us through the first 12 verses of 1 Peter. And I think you'll all agree that we've heard some really beautiful doctrines and truths. We've heard about the elect, we've heard about God's chosen, the foreknowledge, the sanctifying work. We've heard about obedience and grace and peace and mercy. We've heard about the new birth, living hope, the resurrection, an inheritance that will never perish or fail. Faith shielded by God's power, rejoicing in suffering, a refined faith, salvation itself. And last week, we heard about the suffering of Christ and the gospel, the good news. And I think you'll all agree that it's been really, really rich. And I really thank the Lord for the work he's done in our lives through the faithful preaching of his word. And I pray that this morning will be no less rich as we open up the word together and allow the text, Lord willing, to do its work. So now Peter introduces us to this new word and a new subject and a new way of life and its holiness. Now Matthew Henry says on this passage, he says, the written word of God is the surest rule of a Christian life. And by this rule, we are commanded to be holy in every way. God makes those holy whom he saves. And the great reformer and former monk Martin Luther said a Christian should not think that it is too bold to call himself holy. He says that would be like denying the holiness of Christ, the blood of Christ, the word of God, the spirit and the grace of God, which makes us holy. So these verses of scripture opened up for us this morning, I think help us to begin to explore if or how we can be holy in this lifetime. And why? Because as the text says, he is holy and he calls us to be holy. So this morning's not really a verse-by-verse exposition. It's more around the whole theme of holiness. But I'm trying to come up with a big idea each time I preach. And I only came up with it late last night, so I've not had a chance to get it onto the notices. But I'm trying to come up with a big idea, like a theme for the whole message. And this is what I think we're looking at today. So God calls every Christian to holiness and to be holy. Not as a way to earn any grace or any favour or any merit with God, but as the fruit, the outworking of God's grace in our lives in the light of Christ's return. And if you asked people today what Christianity is about, you'd probably hear words like love and forgiveness and grace, and all these words are true, but would they say Christianity is about calling you to live a holy life? Probably not. Holiness nowadays sounds a little bit old-fashioned. It sounds a little bit harsh, a bit judgmental and a bit unrealistic. And Some think holiness is only for like monks or missionaries or nuns or unusually spiritual people. And others, even in the life of the church, believe that holiness is actually impossible. So they sort of stop aiming for it. They sort of stop attaining for it. But this morning, I'd just like each one of us to consider for ourselves, what do you think? Are you holy? Do you feel holy? Well, if you're anything like me, some days, probably not. But I think we're all going to be challenged by God's word this morning with this whole idea of holiness in this lifetime. And importantly, none of you are going to be challenged by me. Why do I say that? Because this man that stands here is a broken man. And when Tim stands here, he's a broken man as well. And we have vulnerabilities, we have failings. We're just like you. We're no different. And our prayer is that the word does the work in your lives each week. So please don't look at this man. Because if you do, I guarantee you, you'll be disappointed. But if you look at him, look at Jesus, I guarantee you won't be disappointed. So here in God's word, we find a command for today. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. So it's not be holy if you feel like it. It's not be holy if you feel like you're having a particularly good day. Or if you're especially gifted. No, look what it says. Be holy in all you do. So this command, it's not a suggestion. It's God's will. It's God's command for our lives, for every believer this is, that confesses that Christ is the Lord of their lives. And today, I want to explore three truths that are written on your sermon outline. What holiness is, and a little bit about what it isn't, why holiness matters, and how do we grow in holiness. So first point, what holiness is and what it isn't. So it's definitely not perfection without sin. It's not a gloomy life. It's not a joyless life. And it's not withdrawing from the world either and living in some sort of monastery without normal responsibilities. And it's not about what you can eat and what you can't eat, what you can drink and what you can't drink, how you dress and how you don't dress, or how you wash your hands, or it's not about any of those things. Holiness, it means living in a way that reflects God's character in ordinary, day-to-day, everyday life. It's being set apart from the ordinary. It's for a special purpose, is being holy, because that purpose belongs to God. That's why it's special. So holiness means being set apart in every way. In every way you think, in all your actions, in all your words, in all your deeds. It goes across the whole breadth of life. To be holy is to take God seriously and to have him central in every area of your life. How you speak, how you think, how you treat people, what you watch, what you desire, how you handle money, how you respond to temptation, how you feel towards your enemies, and how you forgive and love those who've hurt you. Peter says, be holy in all you do. Holiness is not just for Sundays. It's not setting a special day apart from others. No, it's the hourly, daily, minute by minute outworking of this Christian life. And holiness is both inside us and outside us. And I'll explain. So not just clean hands, not just outward, but a clean heart. It's not just a right behaviour that's visible, but it's also a right desire. And it's not just avoiding evil, but it's pursuing good. Jesus, time and again, he rebuked religious people who looked holy on the outside, but were full of pride and bitterness inside. God wants truth in the inward man. Surely you desire truth in the inward parts. Psalm 51. So real holiness, it flows from a changed heart. And holiness doesn't come naturally to us. We know that. Left to ourselves, we drift to comfort, to compromise, to self-rule. We want to be our own little gods. But holiness, it's both a gift of God's grace and a calling we must actively pursue. I want to make sure you get that. Let me just say that again. Holiness is both a gift of God's grace and a calling that we must actively pursue. Sorry if I've used this analogy before, but think of a gymnast on the, I don't even know what they're called, on the rings. They've got to hold both rings to complete their routine. If they let go of one, the exercise will just fail. They must hold both. And likewise, we must embrace holiness as a gift from God, a gift of grace, and a call that we must be obedient to pursue. And that's my first point. Second point is why holiness matters. And if you're making notes, this next one is in four little bits. So this is point two. So if you're making notes, you've got A, B, C, and D. So holiness, point 2A, it reflects God's character. So holiness reflects God's character. So God says, be holy because I am holy. So we belong, if we're true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we belong to a holy God. And our lives should reflect him. So when a Christian lives for himself or herself carelessly, it doesn't reflect well on our God. But when we live with humility and purity and integrity and love, we display God's beauty to others. People of this world may never read the Bible, but if you've told them, work colleagues, friends at school, whoever they are, if you've told them that you belong to Christ, and that's important, not that you just go to church, if you've told them, I'm a Christian and I belong to Christ, then they will read your every moment. They'll read you every day because of what you've told them. You almost become their Bible that they'll only ever read. And that's partly why it's so important, because if you're a Christian and you've got the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you're called to live a holy life. So you reflect God in this world. And if an unbeliever can look at you and say, well, if that's God, I don't want to know. Or they see so many flaws, they think, no, that's not for me. Chances are you're not pursuing holiness. Holiness matters because we reflect and we represent Christ. And holiness reflects his character. It's what God is. So that's 2A, if they're making notes there. I can see them scribbling away. 2B, holiness brings assurance and peace. So it's important that a holy life doesn't save us, but it confirms that God's saving work is real in us. So faith without a transformed life, it's probably no faith at all. True grace and true faith changes us, and it changes how we live. Obedience, a godly obedience, what it does is it brings a settled life. It brings a life of peace. We're not constantly excusing sin or justifying it. There's a real freedom in having a clear conscience before God. Next point, 2C. Holiness is for us. It protects us from harm. So God's commands, you know, they're not just rules. They're loving boundaries. What sin does is it promises freedom and it promises no boundaries. It says, let me just go and do this thing for a moment. Let my thoughts go there. Let my mind go there. Let my motives and my desires and my hopes go there. Sin says, no, go, go, go. But this thinking and this behaviour, it actually delivers the exact opposite. It actually delivers an emptiness and a nothingness in the end. It has no worth. It has nothing of it at all, and ultimately it leads to death itself. That's what sin does. But holiness, it may feel costly at first. It may feel a little bit restrictive. But sin always costs more in the end. And it's right to point out what sin does. The wreckage of sin, a life that chooses to go that way. Broken families, broken marriages, divorce, ruined reputations, addictions, guilt, hardened hearts, loss of joy. God's call to holiness is a call to a life of joy and a call to a life of good, godly boundaries that are meant to be good for us. And my fourth little point, 2D, is holiness prepares us for heaven. So heaven is a holy place. Why is it holy? Because Jesus is there. The more comfortable we feel with our sin now, with our apathy, with our passive life now, with our lack of boundaries, with our lack of holiness, I'd suggest the further we are away from heaven, the more we learn to love what God loves and hate what he hates, the more our hearts are being trained for holiness and eternity. So holiness, if we embrace it, it's preparing us for a joy in heaven. And it's not just restricted to this lifetime. So my third main point, how do we grow in holiness? I won't tell you how many sections are out of this, there's a few. But Peter gives us a roadmap here in verse 13. With minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. So, A, holiness begins with an alert, sober mind. So be alert, like a meerkat. Who likes meerkats? I love meerkats. Deb likes meerkats. Abigail likes meerkats. So like a meerkat, I'll try not to do an impression. But what does a meerkat do? It stands upright. It scans about, looking for prey. Looking for the enemy. Maybe looking for some food. I love that picture of a meerkat. Let's be alert. Holiness begins with you being of your right mind. And not given to those things that would quietly and quietly and carefully pull your life away from Christ. Be sober-minded, it says. I don't think the writer here is talking about alcohol. I think he's talking more about thinking clearly about life, being fully aware of sin, of eternity, of the return of Christ, a life that's serious about the reality of the things of God. I think that's the sober-mindedness. A sober mind. We've to use the tools he's given us. Oh, the Lord has given us so many tools. Use these tools. Get that sober mind. Wear the armour of God that Ephesians 6 talks about. Put on that helmet of salvation. Protect your mind with that. Wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Know God's word. Hide it in your heart. Psalm 119. Hold your thoughts captive in obedience to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10. Know that you have not been given a spirit of fear, but one of love, one of power, one of discipline, one of a sound mind. 1 Timothy 1. We're waiting, all of us, for a returning of the King who is holy. And what will he find when he returns? We must be alert and alive to the things of God. Find a good Christian brother or sister, no matter how old you are. Find a good friend who'll sharpen you up for the things of God. A Christian who'll speak about these things. Speak about sin and repentance and grace and holiness and judgment and the hope of heaven. Find a Christian like that. He's a Christian worth spending time with. God has blessed us and given us with these things. Let's use them. Point B, holiness is fueled by hope. In grace, in the light of Christ's return. So Peter says, set your hope fully on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. So we don't pursue holiness to earn God's love. We pursue holiness because God has already loved us. We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4. The hope of a future grace and Christ's return should sober us up. It should steady us and strengthen us and encourage us to live a holy life today. C. Holiness involves saying no to old patterns. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So holiness means a breaking off of the past. Old habits, old attitudes, behaviours. Not perfectly, and it won't be instantly. It'll never be perfect this side of glory, and it won't be instant. But decisively, over time. It's not self-improvement, but can you see the language here of this verse? Please just look at it with me. It's it's repentance language. It's a change of direction. It's a call to a holy life. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. You were going that way. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. So holiness, it's like a turning around. It's a turning from the ugliness of self to the beauty and the majesty and the glory of Jesus. D, holiness grows in obedience. Holiness is not built in like dramatic individual moments that are on display for all to see. No, it's a process, and it comes through like a daily faithfulness in our Saviour. Say no to temptation quickly when no one is watching. Speak the truth when lying or just avoiding speaking the truth would be easier. Forgiving and loving when bitterness and anger and hatred rises. Choose prayer when distraction or self-entertainment feels easier. Be kind when someone irritates us. Honour God in private and public. Replace anger with love towards someone who has wronged us. I wanted you to hear about what holiness was and the beauty of holiness before we heard that we're to be like obedient little children. But it's not to be avoided because it's there. So he calls them obedient children before he tells them what to do. In other words, this isn't about earning a place in God's family. It's not about earning a place in God's family. It's about being obedient. It's about learning how to live as people, the Lord's people here, who already belong to God's family. Yeah? We carry this family name. We learn these family ways. We're in this family now. We're in the family of God. And that's what Peter's saying here. He's saying you're in a new household. Be obedient. Be obedient to God. I think it's small, obedient, faithful steps over time. And I'm speaking to myself about that. That reshapes a life that grows in holiness over time. E. Holiness grows us and makes us more dependent on the Spirit. So remember, please, that holiness is ultimately God's work in us. The Spirit, it convicts us, it empowers us, it renews us, it changes us. You can't conquer sin by willpower. It's a daily dependence on God. It's a quick confession of sin. It's prayer. It's scripture, and it's the community of God's people. All these things are so important. It's the family of God, this family, in the light of a returning Christ. And I believe this thing, these things shape the holy life. J.C. Ryle, a 19th century Anglican bishop, explicitly taught this. There is no holiness without a warfare. Holiness involves a constant fight and struggle with sin and spiritual forces. So what Ryle is saying here is that holiness isn't like the absence of a struggle. As a matter of fact, the absence of a struggle is not a good sign. It's the presence of a fight. A person who never wrestles with sin is spiritually either asleep or spiritually dead. And I got that by reading a section on Ryle. He talked a lot about that. But it's bang on what he's saying. Bang on what he's saying. Holiness is not the absence of a struggle. It's the presence of a fight. And it's the presence of a holy fight. It's the presence of a fierce battle every day of our lives while we're on this earth. Those are the three main points of my message. And I've got a couple of things to talk through now. I want to talk to you about some objections to holiness. What have you heard from Christians or just people generally, like none of us are perfect? Well, holiness is about direction. It's about the trajectory of your life. So it's not perfection, but it's a process. I'm only human after all. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. But you've heard it said, haven't you? I'm only human after all. Well, do you know what? You're not. If you're a true believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, You've come to the cross of Christ, you've repented of your sins, you're clothed in Christ and you're cleansed by his blood, and you've got the armour of God on, you're battling sin every day, the world, the flesh and the devil, and you're on your way to heaven. You're not just human. You're superhuman. Matthew, you're superhuman. Why? Because you've got Christ living in you. You're on your way to heaven. You don't even belong here, really. You're called to live a holy life and be holy right here and right now. Holiness feels too hard. It is hard. Jesus never promised an easy ride, but he promised his presence, his power, and his grace, his love, his spirit to fight the good fight of faith as you lead a holy life. Be obedient as little children. Get on and be holy. As Luther said, a Christian should not think that it is too bold to call himself holy. A faith that produces no desire for holiness is not a healthy faith, or it's no faith at all. This doesn't mean, please, that we're saved by holiness. That's not what it is, please. We're saved by Christ. We're justified by him and him alone. But the Christ who saves us also transforms us. He also changes us. A grace that never changes how we live is not the grace of the Bible. No, Christ saves us. He doesn't leave us where he found us. He changes us. He molds us. He shapes us from one degree of glory to the next. So let me ask, if Jesus returned today, what would he find us hoping in? Would he find us holy and clinging to him, moulded and shaped into his likeness and his glory and ready for heaven? Would he find us alert and watching and awake and sober-minded? Or would he find us distracted, comfortable and lethargic to the things of God? Peter calls us to set our hope fully on the grace to be revealed at Christ's coming. And that hope shapes how we live today. So we loosen our grip on sin with all its freedom that it offers, with all its lack of boundaries. You know it deep down brings emptiness and it brings pain. It'll not last and there's no joy in it. So loosen your grip on sin. We loosen our grip on the world because a better world is coming. And we cling tightly to Christ, who is our returning King. We operate within these loving boundaries that Christ has set for us. And these are the things that will lead us to holiness. What posture does Peter call us to have here, watching, expectant, alert, sober-minded and obedient, living in the light of the coming Christ? We've said goodbye to those evil desires that we used to have. When our hearts are fixed on him, it changes how we wait. It changes how we wait. We live deliberate, decisive, boundaried, holy lives. So let us live, this church family, let us live as people expecting Jesus' return. But not fearful, hopeful, not careless, but watchful. Not drifting, but decisive. And not alone, but with the family of God that the Lord has blessed us with. And not ungodly, but holy. We embrace holiness, do you remember it? As a gift of salvation and as a call to obedience, holding both as we live for God. But remember, Peter helps us here. He anchors this holiness in the light of the return of Jesus. That's what anchors this holiness. Yeah, it's really important. And verse 13 sets that vision so beautifully. Vision? That, like, horizon. Yeah? Set your hope fully on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. In other words, holiness, it's not just about being better people now. It's about being ready for that great day. This Christian life, it's lived in the shadow of a coming King. Jesus is not only the Saviour who has come, he's the King who's coming again. The Bible is clear. Christ is coming back for a people who belong to him. Not a perfect people, not a sinless people, but repentant and watchful and hopeful and prayerful people. I hope this has been a blessing to you. And we sort of say, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, you are holy. You've loved us. You've called us. You've given us your Spirit. Lord, make us more like Jesus in our thoughts, in our words, in our lives. Teach us, Lord, please, to live alert and sober-minded and fully hopeful on the grace that's coming in the light of your return. Help us to take sin seriously, to embrace holiness joyfully, and keep our eyes fixed on you, our coming King. For your glory, in his name. Amen. Amen.